This is the Up North Lowdown from Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Ed Ronco. Last year, Grand Traverse County sent 5 children out of state for mental health treatment. 3 of those ended up in Missouri at a facility with a troubling history of allegations of sexual and physical abuse. Today on the Lowdown, we hear from the mother of one of those children. She's speaking up, saying that she warned the court about the facility and that the court sent her child there anyway. Here's the story from IPR's Maxwell Howard.
Hello?
Hey, kiddo, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. How are you, sweetheart?
This is Cheryl Karpinski, a mom from Kingsley, Michigan. She recorded this call while talking to her 15-year-old son after he was sent to Lakeland Behavioral Health in Missouri. IPR is not naming her son because he's a minor.
What are they doing?
What did I do? Somebody's trying to fight me.
No. Just get the adult involved.
I can't.
Call for an adult right now.
No.
Call for an adult. Call for an adult.
Karpinski didn't want her son at Lakeland. She actively petitioned the court to find a facility closer to home, especially after learning that Lakeland had a troubling pattern of sexual and physical abuse allegations. Karpinski's son says that while at Lakeland, a staff member gave him marijuana, and another threatened to, quote, snuff the life out of him, unquote. On this call, you can hear staff talking to her son about another resident.
He came at me for literally no reason.
I know, that's what person does. It's so annoying. But until somebody beats the out of me, he ain't going to be doing it no more.
In case you couldn't hear that, the staff member says, until someone beats the expletive out of him, he won't be doing that anymore. Before her son was sent to Lakeland, Karpinski was trying to get him help. He was abusing alcohol and marijuana and running away from home. And then her son scratched her arm in an instant where he was trying to get his phone back before running away again. When she called the police to look for him, they said her son could get help if she pressed charges.
You see these news stories where people always go, well, why didn't the parents try? Believe me, we're trying, you know? And, that is my biggest regret the day that I rolled the dice and said, yeah, I'd like to press charges.
Because of that, her son was now in the care of Grand Traverse's 13th Circuit Court, and they decided he needed longer-term mental health treatment. The court had 4 weeks to find a facility before his release from juvenile detention. Karpinski says Lakeland appeared early as a possible destination, but she had immediate concerns. First, it was 800 miles from home. She couldn't see him while he was there. And then she looked the facility up online.
And the most concerning was that at least two of the employees there had been prosecuted and found guilty of sexually assaulting kids.
And what she read was true. Lakeland had 2 employees arrested and charged the year before for sexual abuse of minors. That same year, there was also a lawsuit alleging another minor was sexually abused there. And just last year, 2 more lawsuits were filed with more than 30 combined plaintiffs alleging abuse from Lakeland employees and residents over a 14-year period.
Who are you telling about this? Like, who are you voicing your concerns to before he was sent?
I said I was able to speak to the judge during a hearing, to Judge Witten, and I told her about the employees that had been prosecuted for sexually molesting children. So the court cannot say they weren't aware. They may not have taken the time to investigate this facility or to look into this facility, but I did.
If her son had to go there, Karpinski wanted to know if the court had looked into Lakeland. She says she never got answers from the court. But while the court declined IPR's request for comment on how it selects facilities, paperwork in Karpinski's son's case named several in-state placement attempts, but only 1 out-of-state attempt, Lakeland.
And that was my frustration as a parent. It's like there was no transparency. If you're going to send a child to another state, I think the minimum you have to do is say, this is who we've spoken with. These are the facilities that we've considered. These are the wait lists that we're looking at.
Leading up to her son's final placement hearing, Karpinski wrote letters to anyone she thought could help, including her local state representative, John Roth. He noted that out-of-state placements require an on-site visit and review of facility records by the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services. In a separate interview with IPR, Roth said he contacted both the department and the court, but that neither had sent a representative to visit the facility. Once her son was at the facility, Karpinski was more convinced than ever that this was a mistake.
That was stressful.
Yeah, he almost got to me, but...
I need you out of there, buddy.
She felt she had to get her son home, and it took 3 months and around $10,000 to hire an attorney to do so. Karpinski still has another case of the court, this one appealing the court's initial decision to remove her son from her home. I asked her why, with her son now home, she was still pursuing this case.
I'm doing this because I'm worried about other kids, and I'm worried about other families, and I don't want any other kid to have to go through this. And so if filing that appeal could tell Grand Traverse County, hey, you know what, there has to be some transparency. You have to show what you've tried. You have to show who you've talked to. You have to show why in the world would you choose Missouri? And my message to them is do better.
Karpinski's appeal is still open and waiting to be heard. And so is the question of how the Grand Traverse County Court chooses where to send children out of state and how they ensure their safety. For IPR News, I'm Maxwell Howard.
We should note, we reached out to Acadia Healthcare, Lakeland's parent company. They declined to speak with us for this story. You can find more about the story, along with previous reporting on Acadia, on our website, iprnews.org.
Support for Interlochen Public Radio is provided by you and by Comfort Keepers. For over 20 years, Comfort Keepers have been providing in-home care services and keeping seniors living independently in the comfort of their own home. Learn more at comfortkeepers.com.
It's the Up North Lowdown from Interlochen Public Radio. I'm Ed Ronco. Let's check some other stories making news here in Northern Michigan. Bond was set at $1 million for a Sheboygan man accused of starting a fire that burned a nature preserve. Up North Live reports that 29-year-old Sean Huddleston was arraigned yesterday on charges including arson for the fire that burned 40 acres at Duncan Bay Nature Preserve on Friday. He's due back in court June 12th. Statewide elections are front and center at a conference of influential business leaders this week on Mackinac Island, the annual Detroit Regional Chamber Policy Conference. Is a blend of political debate, networking, and fundraising. And this year, of course, it happens ahead of these open elections for governor, attorney general, secretary of state, every seat in the legislature. It's a busy Michigan ballot. Sandy Barua is the chamber's president and CEO, and he says with so much change in the works, businesses are looking for solutions to education and workforce and housing challenges that will outlast any single governor's administration or legislative session.
As a purple state, can we provide businesses the long-term predictability that is required for them to operate productively over a long period of time?
Barua says Michigan faces low rankings on important business and quality of life metrics. How did you spend your Memorial Day weekend? Well, a handful of folks went skiing at Boyne Mountain Resort. The Charlevoix County Resort says it was their latest closing date ever. Temperatures, by the way, on Memorial Day at Boyne Mountain, about 82 degrees. That's the Up North Lowdown for Wednesday, May 27th.
Hey. This is Austin Rolater, and I want to tell you about Red Pine Radio. Red Pine Radio is a community radio project run by IPR. I got my start in Red Pine, Maxwell Howard came through Red Pine as well, and this spring, you have an opportunity to get started in it too. We're teaching a workshop at Green Door Folk School in Cedar. It's called Radio Boot Camp. The dates are May 30th and 31st. Spots are limited, so sign up at greendoorfolkschool.com.